May the Lord help us to commence by singing from the hymn sheet, "Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more." The first hymn.
No. From the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the book of Deuteronomy, and reading in chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and we'll read to verse 24. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, reading the first 24 verses. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in good, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly. Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. May the Lord grant his blessing unto us each upon his blessed and solemn word. And may he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal God, the only living God, Lord, do be mindful of us here, gathered together in this place, appointed for prayer, for praise, for worship this night. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast caused us to come and to be gathered here, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we would commend to thee the one who was engaged to be here. But Lord, thou hast laid him aside in unhealth. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy healing touch to him to strengthen him and restore him to good health and strength, that he may continue in the labours thou hast called him to bear, the ministry of the gospel, in his pastorate and wherever he goes and all his labours. Lord, all that he seeks to do in thy name. O Lord, to grant thy blessing upon him. May he know thee very near, thy good spirit to rule his heart. And so, Lord, may he know thou hast not left him nor forsaken him, but sanctify these things to the good of his soul. Lord, we pray, thou wilt bless him in all his labours, and still use him as many hearing thy voice. And Lord, we are gathered together here now, around thy word, thy gracious and solemn word. O, do prepare our hearts to hear thy voice. And we pray thou wilt speak to us through thy word. Lord, we have evil hearts within us, hearts deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know them? Lord, we do not know them ourselves. Otherwise, we would be far more troubled than we are. Lord, day by day, hour by hour, or we transgress against thy law in thoughts and words and deeds. Lord, we are not worthy to be called one of thine. We are only fit, Lord, to be cast away out of thy sight. O Lord, we pray for the help of thy Spirit to teach us. Teach us the truth of what we are before thine all-seeing eye. And Lord, keep us lowly and humbly at thy feet, knowing our dependence for salvation, deliverance from that wrath of thine which is to come. A hope of eternal life is all founded upon the shed blood, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have sung, who said, "It is finished." Love's redeeming work done. He fought the fight, the battle won, Satan's head bruised, that he has no power, no, never again, against thy people. And we pray, Lord, that we may be counted amongst that great number for whom Christ died. O Lord, make it the one thing needful within our hearts, Jesus crucified for me. And may we know, Lord, his risen power. O that glorious arising, as we read of the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. Lord, to be revealed in us and by the Holy Spirit, to be the joy and rejoicing of our heart, to know the truth of that good hope, because I live, ye shall live also. O Lord, do not leave us untouched. Do not leave us hardened to these things, for the day of judgment is before us each. Lord, and we know not when that shall come. We know not what another day may bring forth. We do not know the length of our days. But, O Lord, that preparation for that last day is vital. Do not let us, Lord, lie in unconcern. Do not let us just carry on content with earthly things. We thank thee, Lord, for so many earthly things, goodness, needs supplied by thy good hand. And Lord, thou doth help us day by day in our daily lives. And we must give thee thanks in all things, for we're not worthy of the least of thy mercies. But all those things, Lord, thou doth give us, needful, as we continue upon this earth, will be no better than the chaff in a time of harvest. Oh, they have been useful. As we have grown, as we pray, we shall in grace the knowledge of thy love to bring forth that fruit to thine honour and glory. But in that last day, only what thou hast given us through the revelation of that power of the shed blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin shall cause us to enter into life eternal. O Lord, so keep our hearts and minds fixed upon Christ. O, to ever consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, who bore the contradiction of sinners against himself, that we, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. O Lord, give us that faith to know what thou hast done. Thou hast done forever. And thus the eternal covenant stands. Lord, help us by faith to rest in thy love. And we to love thee for thy love for us. Lord, these are the real things which we want to know assuredly within our hearts. Oh, do remove all the doubts, the fears, the power of unbelief, those whisperings of Satan who would keep us from thy blessing. Lord, thou knowest each heart before thee here tonight. Thou knowest each case. Lord, we pray for thy quickening power. And Lord, we pray for those who have been quickened. Lord, to be strengthened in the way that is everlasting. Lord, to be confirmed and in trials and tribulations, that thou art yet with them. Lord, do hear the many prayers that are put up to thee. Prayers in the time of need. Prayers for thy blessing. And Lord, we pray thou will bless the gatherings together here at all times. Lord, may it be often said, oh, it has been good to go up to the house of the Lord. He blessed me there. Lord, so may thy Spirit remain here amongst thy people. And may there be many a good thing done in each and every heart. We pray, Lord, for the children, the little ones. Lord, may they be kept from the powers of evil that so actively arise in these evil days. Lord, do shield them from those powers, those temptations, those enticements. Lord, they have tender hearts. And Lord, we know what it is to be tempted in our younger days as well as now in our older days. Lord, do be their keeper. Do keep them as the apple of thine eye. Hear the prayers of parents and loved ones for them. Lord, do not let what they see and what they hear be a poison to them, but draw them by thy Spirit to the love of thy word of truth, the things of Jesus. And oh, may they truly be, Lord, the lambs of thy fold. Thou, their good shepherd, who gave his life for them and for the sheep. May they grow to be true followers of thee. Lord, the children, the young people likewise. Oh, preserve them in thy loving care. Lord, put thine arms about them. Lord, in the many decisions which have to be taken in higher education and occupation and location. Lord, do close the doors which are forbidden of thee for them. And open the doors which are permitted of thee for them. Now, Lord, we pray to lead and to guide upon each day upon this earth, and Lord, to sanctify every circumstance to the blessing of their soul, that they may know, Lord, by faith, what it is to depend upon thee, to commit all their way unto thee, to trust also in thee, and thee to bring to pass what is for their providential and eternal good. Lord, each of us need to be kept. Kept in that way that is everlasting. Kept from falling. Kept, Lord, from the power of our evil heart and the reasoning of our earthly minds. Oh, Lord, how often there seems to be that way which seems right unto us. And yet we have not sought thee as we ought. And if we are left to go our own way, Lord, the end will be death, fleshly and spiritually. O Lord, keep us from such solemn paths. Lord, grant thy chastening upon us when we stray. As the psalmist said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Lord, bring us back when we fall and stray. For thou art a kind and merciful and gracious God, who will not let thy people stray beyond the bounds of thy love. O Lord, keep us in that fold of which thou art our shepherd, and ever lead us about in the green pastures, where we feed, Lord, upon thy word, and through the circumstances of our lives prove thy grace, thy mercy and thy love, and more, that at the end of our days ourselves have completely decreased, and the love of Christ always only increased within us, that in our last day it will be Jesus only, lost in wonder, love and praise. Oh Lord, may that be our lot. We do not deserve it. We cannot plead, Lord, anything of ourselves for it. We plead that precious sin-atoning blood that cleanseth from all sin. Help our friend giving out the hymns this evening. Lord, do help him in all his duties and labours here and his fellow deacon with him. Oh Lord, bind them together in that which is thy will concerning this place. And give unity, Lord, to each of the church members. May there be that seeking to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified, thy will to be done, to the honour and glory of thy name in all that has to be attended to. And O Lord of the congregation, Lord, to work within each heart. Oh, that the love of Christ to constrain them to enter into that sweet fellowship in membership of the church, that all shall adown to thine honour and to thy glory. Lord, we pray for the ministry here, that thou wilt use it to the good, the comfort, the blessing, the quickening, the stirring up, Lord, of each soul. Lord, if it is thy will, grant a settled ministry. Lord, thou knowest the exercises. Lord, thou must give it, the exercise of a church and the exercise of one whom thou shalt appoint. Oh, they labour, unless thou, Lord, doth build the house. They labour in vain that build it. Oh, Lord, our dependence is upon thee in all things, at all times. We pray for thy church at large, in our land and throughout the world. Lord, we have so many great privileges which we thank thee for, our freedom of worship, as we enjoy it this night. But Lord, others in other lands do not have such freedom. They have not the liberty. Lord, they meet together in fear of their own lives and punishment. Lord, we commend them to thee. Wilt thou not appear for them? Lord, separate them from the power of their enemies, as thou didst Israel by the Red Sea. And Lord, bring them to a place where they can gather together in the blessing, Lord, of thy word and of thy spirit, and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, remember those who preach the gospel in far-off fields. Lord, having given up their comforts of homes and things of this and the benefits of this life in this country, help them, Lord, in the ministry of the gospel. And may it not return unto thee void, but be a blessing to the souls of all those that hear them. Lord, we pray thou wilt send out more to labour in the ministry of the gospel here. Lord, where thou hast begun that exercise, Lord, do work it again and again to fruition, that one is constrained and another is constrained, and wherever, Lord, thou hast begun that work, to send them forth, Lord, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, we do not just pray for our own society of churches. We pray for every denomination who need the true sound of the gospel. Oh Lord, where there is so much false doctrine, so much false practice, Lord, raise up there and amongst us true labours in the ministry of thy word. And may the church again have an influence in the government and the legislation of our land. We pray, Lord, for our new parliament, our new prime minister. Lord, not one who we may choose naturally, but, Lord, one whom thou canst still use. Lord, thou canst use whatever be thy means to use. And we pray that, Lord, thou wilt use him for the benefit of our nation. Wilt thou not grant him, Lord, an outpouring of thy Spirit? Lord, to give him wisdom, the fear of thee, even draw him to thy word, draw him to prayer. Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. Thou art the God of all flesh, whether they believe in thee or not. O Lord, do bring these things to pass, and may all the many heavy decisions, hard things that have to be decided upon, Lord, be thy will in mercy and not in wrath against us. Lord, we do not deserve that mercy. O Lord, do not pour out all thy wrath upon us. But Lord, may we see thy good hand, that we may yet glorify thy name more and more. Still, Lord, remain the God of this nation, and maintain our liberties of worship as we enjoy them this day. Hear us, Lord, in all these things. Be with any unable to be here who would be here if they could. Lord, for all the various reasons, thou knowest where they are. Watch over them. Keep them safe in thy care. And bring them again here, Lord, at the appointed times. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. Hymn 987.
Thank you.
in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may own and bless his own word amongst us tonight, cause it to enter into our hearts. As your prayerful attention by way of a text at the very beginning of the chapter we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, the opening words of it, "And it shall come to pass." The 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and the very first few words of it, "And it shall come to pass." My dear friends, never doubt the word of God. What he speaks, what he has revealed in his holy word, is the truth, and it shall come to pass. In his time, in his way, for his purpose. And he is the God of all flesh. Whether flesh believes in God or not, being fools, they are still the subject of his sovereign will. And all that he declares concerning all things upon this earth, be assured, it shall come to pass. Now, dear friends, does that not make us tremble and fear God? We love our own ways. We love to do the things which rise up from within our own hearts for our earthly good and prosperity, to fulfill the lusts of our flesh and the pride of our lives, and so on and so forth. But dear friends, let us ever remember, we're all subject to the sovereign will of God. And in the end, dear friends, there is a solemn division in the will of God. There's blessing and there's cursing. Cursed, oh, to those who have not obeyed and fallen under the mercy of God. Depart from me, ye cursed. And on the other hand, come, thou blessed of my Father. Dear friends, those will be the last words we hear before we either enter into eternal damnation or unto eternal glory. And it shall come to pass. But looking more at the context of this word at the beginning. Now, Deuteronomy is a book in the original tongue, was Hebrew. Yet the title we have is Greek, Deuteronomy, which means second law. That doesn't mean to say the first law of Moses in Exodus has been put away, but it means the application of it has been extended. The children of Israel had come to the end of the wilderness journey, and the law given to them by Moses on Mount Sinai had the particular application to their state at that time. Now, as they are to enter into the promised land, it is the same law, and the application is going to be extended, made are different in some ways because their circumstances are different. But dear friends, the same law applied. The blessing of God depended on their obedience. And the curse of God came through disobedience. And so we have here in this chapter 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, and so on and so forth, all these blessings shall come on thee. Then when we come to verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, oh how solemn, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. God is a holy God. Who can entertain no breach of his law. His law is a righteous law. And dear friends, if we are to attain to God's glory through our works upon this earth, it has to be in complete obedience to his holy law. We find, don't we, when Israel came into the promised land, when they obeyed the Lord their God, then things prospered and they went well. But when they turned to the gods of the nations around them and they disobeyed the word of the Lord, then they soon found things was very hard against them. They fell under the curse of God. It came to pass. And dear friends, you know, when the curse of God came upon them, his hand was risen against them, and he brought them under the power of their enemies, and their labours did not prosper in the field, and they became in times of famine. How often we find they were ignorant of the reason for the hand of God against them. How hard was their heart. It's in the time of the Midianites, when they came up 7 years against Israel, the Lord sent an angel unto Gideon. And what did Gideon say? Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon, who was to be used of the Lord and blessed by the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him. Dear friends, left to himself, he was in ignorance of why all these hard things had come upon them. You know, dear friends, when we look at these things in the scriptures, don't we see ourselves? None of us have kept ourselves completely obedient to the law, the righteous law of God. It's impossible. Because we are born dead with evil hearts, dead spiritually, in trespasses and in sins. And none of us has to tell us how to sin, do they? Even as a child. It's within us from our birth, or sin is in us from the seed sown when we are conceived. And so we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And how hard our hearts can be to it. Yes, we may have in this day in which we live many benefits in our nation. We have many material benefits. We have many things to help us in all the necessary tasks of life. We have an abundance. We have more than what we basically need. And at times we have things come against us. Sorrows, sicknesses, griefs, sorrow, whatever it is. And they cause us to be cast down. Dear friends, does it really cause us to search our hearts why these things be? Or do we just say, well, why has the Lord caused this to come upon us? Or has he not been a gracious God to many whom we've talked, and our fathers, our past ancestors? Then why are we troubled as we are this day? You know, dear friends, we can often think ourselves righteous, can't we? Acceptable before God because of our outward walk, our outward morality, what we don't do, keeping ourselves from various ways of sinful practices. And it's so easy within us, isn't it, to say we're better than others. And therefore, why has the Lord brought this upon me? Dear friends, we have hearts deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know them? We can't know them. They're part of us and they influence our thoughts. They influence our words and our deeds. And dear friends, all we can do in our flesh is to add sin to our sin daily. Oh, what a solemn state we're in, aren't we, in the way we are born, in our nature. There may be some good things about us. Yes, we may do kind deeds as we should. We may be a help to others as we should. We may go to the house of God and read the word of God as we should. But dear friends, not one of our righteousnesses can remove one of our sins. And our hearts within us will tell us we are more righteous than we are sinners. That's when we're left to ourselves. And dear friends, if we're left to ourselves like that, it shall come to pass. That solemn end in the day of judgment. For none of us can deliver our own soul from that pit of corruption. We have a case, don't we? I often refer to him of Saul of Tarsus. Dear friends, he believed in God like we do. He had a zeal for God. He considered what he was doing was right before God. And he rested on his own self-righteousness, self-righteous pride. Oh, he testified in such a state, being of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless, blameless. Oh, how hard was his heart. How dark and cold was his heart, even though he thought he was acceptable in the sight of God. Dear friends, such a state can affect us each, God. Oh yes, he kept to the feasts, he kept to the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles and those things. He prayed in the temple and gave alms, and fasted and so forth, concerning the righteousness of the law, blameless. He testifies, I was alive without the law once. See, the law had no effect upon him. His own heart told him he was above the law, outside of it. The law was no curse unto him. Until the Lord began his work within him. Now that was it, wasn't it? That made the difference. That changed his heart. You see, the law, the application of the law is spiritual. Paul said, when the commandment came in the power of the Spirit, sin revived and I died. He thought he was alive outside the law once, now brought in under the law by the work of the Spirit. Dear friends, he died. He got no hope now of eternal life in him at all. This is the mercy of God, isn't it? That he has a people whom he will form for his praise, no matter how hard or how far off they may seem in their early days in nature, and the hardness and rebellious heart. And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Those who deserved only the curse are brought under the blessing. Dear friends, this is vital, isn't it, if we're to have any hope of eternal life. We find, don't we, that when Paul was on that Damascus road, that mighty work of the Lord in that vision, when Christ himself appeared to him, Paul had to fall down under the power of that vision, of that sight. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He lost his natural sight. All he could say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go into the city of Damascus, he'll be told thee what thou shalt do. Oh, dear friends, when that commandment came, his sin revived, he died. He died before the knowledge of the holiness of God and Christ Jesus. And when that place of Damascus in the street called Straight, he prayed again, not as he prayed before as a Pharisee, thanking God he was not as other men were. But dear friends, the Lord said to Ananias, behold, now he prayeth. He pleaded for forgiveness, pleaded for pardon, pleaded for the forgiveness of all those dreadful crimes. Pleaded, no doubt, for his sight. Pleaded for the Lord to have mercy upon him completely. Behold, he prayeth. He didn't eat, he didn't drink. Oh, dear friends, there was only one thing that he needed. It was the Lord's mercy. Dear friends, if one is brought before the Lord like that, it shall come to pass. That mercy of the Lord upon his soul, whereby Paul, or can we call him Paul now? He was still Saul of Tarsus, really, wasn't he, in the flesh? He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, dear friends, that's the only way we can have a hope of eternal life. The knowledge of the saving grace revealed to us in our hearts, which changes us. No matter how we were before, great sinners or religious, self-righteous ones, there's the change of our heart, where we become vile in the sight of God and have to confess it. And the Lord bestows his mercy. It shall come to pass. Oh, dear friends, the Lord doesn't work like that in everyone, does he? He works in varied ways. Can go to the other extreme, like Ruth, the Moabitess, who lost her husband. Naomi lost her husband. Orpah lost her husband. And Dear friends, in that way of sorrow and the experience she had, that no doubt in some aspect the witness of Naomi in her fear of God, dear friends, the Spirit began to work in Ruth. Whereas Orpah could see the wisdom of Naomi to say, yes, go back to your natural things you desire as a young woman, to be married, to have children, grow up with a husband, and so forth. Ruth, that was very much second place. Dear friends, she was drawn to where her heart's desire was, thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where I die, where thou diest, I will die. Oh, and so forth. Then there's a drawing power. She was loved, wasn't she, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, the Lord drew her, even though it through a time of sorrow and sadness. Dear friends, perhaps some of you have had that. That publican who came into the temple. Dear friends, he'd been a lover of money, wasn't he, as a publican? But something changed him. We're not told what. But something changed his heart to cause him to seek for his soul's salvation. And that was the work of God, whatever the means was. Oh, dear friends, how we long to know, don't we, a call by grace, a changing of our heart, that working of the Spirit within. But let us be cautious. Let us be careful. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, of the work, the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was appointed of God to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist preached. He preached repentance. And he preached forgiveness of sin. Confession of sin. And there were many who came and heard his preaching, heard his doctrine, and they were persuaded to repent, to turn about from their dependence upon their own righteousness, and to confess, yes, they were sinners, and then to change their lives, to bring forth fruits meet for repentance, to show that they were truly repentant of their false hopes before, and to walk humbly before God in the outward sense. Now, dear friends, under the preaching of the gospel, on the oratory of ministry, there are many, I think, who come to that point. They repent. They change their ways, their evil ways. And they confess that they are sinners. They go no further. John the Baptist could not give forgiveness, could he? He says, there's one that cometh after me who's mightier than I. Shoes latchet I'm not unworthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, dear friends, that's a solemn thing. I won't go into that now, but keeping on the way of the Holy Ghost. If there's no indwelling of the Holy Spirit, no teaching of the Spirit, dear friends, there's no drawing truly to the footstool of mercy, to have Christ revealed in us by the Holy Spirit, where we come to know truly our sins forgiven. By faith, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith to behold Jesus Christ, a crucified Saviour, to behold him whom we have pierced. Dear friends, why I say we have to be careful. You know, when I was young, I went to Merch Ministry, where there was a great emphasis, yes, on repentance and confession of sins, and to give one's heart unto the Lord, as if it was in my power to do so. I remember one boy in my Sunday school. He was a troublesome one. Often made a noise and was a fidgety and did things he shouldn't. He went to a Billy Graham campaign. I'm not judging Billy Graham, and the Lord will use whatever he will use. He went to a Billy Graham campaign and he came back a changed person. He wanted to sing the hymns, he wanted to read the word. And some years later he wanted to train to be a minister in the Methodist Church. And I think he did. I think he became a part-time minister in the Methodist Church. Then trouble arose in his family with his wife. He left his wife. He remarried. The last I heard, he didn't go to the house of God at all. There'd be no infilling after he'd been changed by the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I mean? And Jesus tells us the same. In that solemn parable, little parable in Matthew 12. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Oh, dear friends, we don't want to be left empty, do we? We need to be filled with the Spirit. Only that will keep the power of Satan out and returning. It is more powerful than we are. I always tremble at Demas, who was drawn to be a follower of the Apostle Paul, and his name appears at the end of some of Paul's epistles to the churches. And then in Paul's last epistle, the second one to Timothy, he says, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. No, perhaps, although it seemed to be outwardly so, inward, there was no full dwelling of the power of the Spirit to keep him from falling. Oh, dear friends, how we need urgently to pray, don't we? As Jesus said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do we? In our prayers, is it an urgent part of our prayers, Lord? Fill me with thy Spirit. Let thy good Spirit rule my heart. Govern all my words and ways. Let grace abound in every part. Teach my tongue to sing thy praise. Dear friends, if that's your prayer from the bottom of your heart, the object of your first desire, then it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Because you have a need, don't you, of the blessing of the Lord. You cannot continue without this knowledge of the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the forgiveness of your sins and to be kept in the way of his righteousness. And dear friends, where that exercise is upon you because you know, oh, you're a great sinner. You know you're not worthy of eternal life. You're not worthy of the mercy of Christ. Yet it's your object of your first desire. Dear friends, if you're like that, a great needy sinner, what does the word of God say? He says, come, let us reason together, saith your God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, wool, when it's washed, is very white. Come. Oh, what an encouraging there is there, isn't there? And what did Jesus say? Come. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. Perhaps you've been trying for a long time to seek. Oh, that pardon of your sins in whatever way you've been trying. Perhaps improving your own ways of living upon this earth, more righteous in the outward ways of God. No. Come. I will give thee rest. Dear friends, that's the blessedness of Christ, isn't it? A rest, a peace, a pardon, forgiveness of sin. And they that come unto me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Dear friends, if there's that exercise in you and these words, oh, they are your joy and rejoicing, these are your desires, then it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. I was struck by the opening hymn that your deacon chose tonight. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. There's the Holy Spirit, you see. We haven't got power of our own. Nobody else has. Jesus says concerning his people, he will pray and the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit and he will testify of me. He is willing. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall, and so forth. And I think we had it in the second hymn as well. Dear friends, we have hard hearts by nature, don't we? They're plagued by doubts and fears. But, oh, how we need that Holy Spirit to bring us submissive. Submissive to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins, for him to apply his pardoning love, that precious sin-atoning blood, to look by faith to Christ on Calvary's cross, and to know it was done for you. Dear friends, it shall come to pass for all who were drawn and brought that way. It shall come to pass. And then there's the continuation, isn't there? You don't walk anymore as you once did. Oh, many of your loves and the many of your joys, the many of the things you did without any thought or without any prick of conscience, you now see them in a different light. You now see them in the light of the truth and the blessing of the Lord Jesus upon you. You're given a very tender conscience. And sin becomes exceedingly sinful. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul said after he was converted, wasn't it? Sin becomes exceedingly sinful. And yet, as the Apostle Paul carried on in this life, what was his testimony? In my flesh dwells no good thing. You've still got your evil heart, haven't we? The good that I would, that I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He speaks of the sin that still dwells within his body, the law of sin. He couldn't overcome it. But he could say, I thank God through Christ Jesus. Again, in that second epistle to Timothy at the very end, a worth saying, worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, still present tense. I am the chief. And so, dear friends, there's only one way, isn't there? That we can be made ready for eternal life. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the teaching of the Holy Ghost, that love of Christ shed abroad in your heart by him. Dear friends, where there's that longing desire, it shall come to pass. All those promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, you'll come into times of the trial of your faith, yes. In this world we shall have tribulation. This is a sin-cursed earth. We've still got that heart of sin within us, and they're in league with each other. But what happens to a child of God, a true child of God? He's forced to the throne of grace, isn't he? pleading that sin atoning blood, coming through that great sacrifice for sin of his glorious high priest Christ Jesus, who was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin, and there to obtain mercy. It shall come to pass. As you pour out your heart before the Lord to be kept from falling, to be kept from temptation, to be kept from going your own way into further into iniquity, to be brought back into the right way if you have fallen. The Lord is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with him. He will not leave you nor forsake you. None can ever pluck you out of his hand. None can ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And he that hath begun that good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It shall come to pass. Oh, dear friends, what a blessed gospel it is, isn't it? For sinners such as you, for sinners such as me, where our hard hearts have been affected, have been touched, have been quickened by the work of the Spirit, perhaps applying his word. Or the psalmist said, didn't he, thy word hath quickened me. Maybe that's been the same with you. May it is yet to be the same with you. This truth as it is in Jesus, to quicken you into divine life. One thing perhaps I just feel just called upon to speak very in closing. I mentioned John the Baptist. There were those who repented, confessed their sins, and they were baptized by John. We read John baptized unto repentance. But there's one mightier than I that cometh after me, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That whole baptizing of the Holy Ghost reveals Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that he's done for the salvation of your soul. And therefore, dear friends, is there not to be a witness of that? You know, in this book of Deuteronomy, the word remember appears many, many times. Remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. Remember this and remember that. The Lord Jesus says, remember. Remember to keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Well, that we're to love one another as he has loved us. To walk in love as he has loved us. Dear friends, there's many things which Christ speaks of in the way we should walk in love through his love for us. And that love, that redeeming love, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. A witness of that grace. A witness of that goodness. A witness of that mercy. A witness of that redeeming love. Oh, dear friends, these things are not to be hidden. This light is not to be put under a bushel, under a measuring jug, as you might say, and to be hidden and kept away. It's to be brought forth to the honour and glory of his name. Dear friends, that's the strengthening of the church. Not you yourself personally. Not me, myself personally. But what the Lord has done for our souls. There's the fellowship. There's the strength of the church. There's the glory of God. Oh, and it shall come to pass. Dear friends, think upon these things. The Lord bless you abundantly with the knowledge of his truth, the saving grace as it is in Jesus, and for each of one of you, oh, these blessings, not only providential, as he will supply all your need, there's no doubt about that, through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, he'll supply all the need of your souls and keep you in the way everlasting to enjoy that eternal peace and to be with him forevermore. It shall come to pass. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 351. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven is manifestly passed from death and sealed an heir of heaven. Hymn 351.
Thank you.
do pardon and forgive all that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this night. But we pray thy blessing, Lord, upon thine own word in the power of thy Spirit. Lord, cause thy Spirit to abide within us and lead us in the way of truth. And all those precious promises that are yea and in a and amen in Christ Jesus. Oh, we prove them to be thine, Lord, for the good and preciousness of our never dying soul. And it shall come to pass that thou, whom thou hast called by grace into the knowledge of thy redeeming love, where one can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And it shall come to pass that they shall dwell with thee for evermore. Oh, may this, Lord, be so with each one of us here tonight. Do not let any remain in the broad way. Bless thy word, Lord, bless the hymns we have sung. Cause our hearts to be melted before thee, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.